Hello, everybody. Welcome to Redacted. I'm Natalie Morris. We're so glad you've joined us. This is Clayton Morris. We are two people who are married. We are former journalists. Now we talk to you on YouTube about things that are global.
Are you ever a former journalist? I mean, we spent 20 years as journalists. Are you ever a former journalist?
We are untethered in rehab. Now. We are in remission journalists. Yes, we no longer work for mainstream media. We work for ourselves and we come here. And thank you so much for letting us into your home and into your connected device.
So we've got a lot of news to get to today. David's here. Philip's here running the show in the control booth. Good afternoon to all of you guys. Good to see you guys. You guys buckled up. We have a very busy show. So really kind of crazy, really sad news day. We're going to talk about the update with Julian Assange, some breaking news on that. Moments ago, we got updates on Gonzalo Lira, the Chilean reporter in Ukraine. Really awful update on that. We will bring to you so much more.
That's right. So we start the top with Julian Assange. Now, he has been fighting his extradition to the United States for years now. And in recent months, he continues to be denied his appeal to be extradited. The United States says that they want to try him for war crimes because he published classified documents. Well, now the latest update is that a judge has said that he can be extradited. This is not his last hope, but it's really ticking down to the end of his options at this point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's really awful. I mean, this is really, really awful for free speech. The unthinkable, I mean, just happened in the Julian Assange case, something that, like, freedom-loving Americans should actually be terrified of. I mean, a court has formally approved the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States on espionage charges. And I mean, think about this. Here's a guy who is a journalist who gets documents that reveals the what has been unfolding in the United States government, spying on American citizens.
Yes.
I mean, think about what we learned because
killing people in war-torn areas. Right. It's not just about privacy concerns any longer. These are about crimes, right? War crimes abroad. And now the United States wants to try him for it, which is interesting, right? Because while the United States is championing for Ukraine, saying Vladimir Putin should be tried for war crimes, that's very interesting when it will not answer for any crimes that the United States government has, in fact, enacted, but wants to punish the person who has spoken most publicly about it.
Right.
Well, and one thing I think that's important is the fact that this guy, you know, anybody who believes that he is a traitor to the United States bought into propaganda, because this guy has never had to retract one single ounce of information that he's put out. He is very careful with what they drop, that it is actual information.
Well, also, he's not a U.S. citizen. You cannot betray a country you are not a part of, which is just, like, weird to me. That's the thing that's always, I can't wrap my head around this, is like, he's not a U.S.
Yes,
citizen.
He has no social contract with the United States, right?
But it doesn't matter. And one of the reasons, you know, he'll be tried here, he'll be brought to the United States. And this was, you remember the U.K. judge, by the way, the U.K. judge who specifically had a problem with him going to United States prison, right? Because of the terrible living conditions. I mean, his family's already spoken out about how, I mean, it's just absolutely crushed and demoralized him.
Yes.
You know, and really the shitty thing here, too, is that President Trump had an opportunity. He had an absolute opportunity to pardon him, to pardon Edward Snowden, and he didn't. I mean, if you really wanted to stick it to the military-industrial complex, if you really wanted to stick it to the deep state, to the CIA, et cetera,
well, and talk about
this is a way to do it.
Pulling people that otherwise would be polarized to Trump, he could have pulled people over to his side with that one move.
Yes. Yes, you're right. This would have really endeared people to him. Now, he still can appeal the decision, and it now rests in the UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. But his lawyer says, obviously, this is concerning. But his team is saying that they may appeal because they have what they're calling fresh developments in the case. We have no idea what that could be. We don't know if we will ever know. But you can bet that the powers that be in Washington are shaking in their boots because they don't want any fresh news out of Julian Assange. No fresh news, please. They want this to be the end of what he had to show.
Caitlin Johnstone wrote a great piece on this today. She's, of course, been tracking and following what's been going on with the Julian Assange case. She says the U.S. cries about war crimes while imprisoning a journalist for exposing its war crimes. I mean, that headline sums it up, doesn't it? I'm going to read it again for those listening. The U.S. cries about war crimes while imprisoning a journalist who exposed the war crimes. Right. And so she goes on to say, in what his lawyers have described as a brief but significant moment in the case, a British magistrate court has signed off on Julian Assange's extradition to the United States, bringing the WikiLeaks founder one step closer to U.S. trial under the Espionage Act, which threatens press freedoms worldwide. Worldwide. This is happening, as she says, at the same time the United States and the United Kingdom are loudly demanding accountability for alleged war crimes by the Russian military in Ukraine. Which is interesting because attempting to bring accountability for war crimes is precisely why Julian Assange is in prison.
Yes. Well,
and think about this for one second, too. Think about Edward Snowden. So President Biden made it his personal beef with Snowden to make sure that he caught him, right? But who gave him refuge? Russia. So he is in Russia getting more protection than he'd get in the United States, which is insane.
But the thing is, the argument can be made, and I don't want to get a bunch of hate for this because I'm not saying I agree with it, but the argument can be made that Snowden was a traitor because he was actually a soldier. He was a contractor for the United
the
States
NSA.
Government. He is a citizen. So that argument can be made, but Julian Assange is not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, and as our chat is pointing out, Philip, great point. And I'll say, great point.
It is a great point, but I kind of can't. Like, I feel like I need to say the obvious thing is that also he's a human being who felt like personal freedoms and civil liberties were being violated. And so he acted as a human being first and a soldier second. And I think that sort of talking about these man-made boundaries and these man-made governments and these man-made orders and taking the humanity out of this is what's causing war and death and destruction in this moment. So I get it where we can talk about this traitorous moment, but at the same time, you know, I want to speak out on behalf of what Edward Snowden did as a human person with a conscience.
Yeah. And by the way, if you've never seen the great movie, the Snowden movie, I highly encourage you to watch it. It's really, really good.
The one with
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah,
really,
it
really
is very
so good.
But back to Julian Assange, just for some context here to provide like why he's in prison, right? As this points out, 12 years ago today, Julian Assange published the collateral murder video detailing the gunning down of civilians, children, and two Reuters journalists. Assange faces a 175-year sentence if extradited for revealing this and other war crimes. I mean, you know, this is, and they lied to us. The United States lied to its citizens about what happened. Reuters, of course, demanded investigation into the killings. U.S. military authorities basically, I mean, lied to the United States. The president of the United States lied to the American people. The only reason we even knew about it was through a Freedom of Information Act request. And then, of course, WikiLeaks got and obtained decrypted and got the video. And this is what, of course, and we can show some of it here. This is what happened. And I mean, I'm not going to show the full thing here, but this is what happened. This was the original video that that the United States military, as these individuals get gunned down here. And I'm going to cut away from that because we know what happened. I'm sure you've all seen this horrible video over the years. But by revealing this and these crimes, that, you know, that's why he's going to face time in prison.
And I was just going to say really quick, in those videos, you can hear soldiers laughing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've watched these videos. I mean, and think about sort of the early days of the internet getting access to this, right? Like revealing this stuff. Just got to show you, like, you know, like, all right, we just engaged all eight individuals. Yeah, you see two birds? We're still on fire. Roger, I got them. We're good to go. I got these guys. Yep, I'm sorry. What's going on? Yeah, man, all right. I hit them. I mean, these are the subtitles.
This is not a video game.
No,
this is real life.
You know, this is what he exposed. This is what he exposed, and now he's going to be extradited for this. The hypocrisy. I mean, it's one of those days, guys.
But then also in a time when we see that the United States is making claims about a conflict between Russia and Ukraine, has very few sort of credible sources, but is only telling us that everything Russian says is a lie, only believe what we want you to believe. And this journalist over here who told you things we didn't want you to see will be punished. So then what is the future of the information that we can access when people who say things that the powers that be don't like will be punished, right? What is the trickle-down effect for news? For it, I mean, news, I want to say, like with an asterisk, right? But for information disseminators,
yes.
People who just want to expose things, not necessarily news media. I feel like I'm giving the news media a bit too much credit by linking them in this group of
Well, politicians, news media, everything. And I come back to Caitlin Johnstone, who's one of the few voices in this. The reason I love her so much, I have a wife who's sitting next to me, but Caitlin Johnstone is an amazing thinker in this space and one of the few voices. And there's so few voices out there.
You have a professional crush on her. I do
have a professional crush on her because she's amazing. And I think what she says what so many people don't have the balls to say. And here she says it in this piece, you know, and she's responding.
Can we use the word vulva?
Okay, you can say vault. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, don't say balls.
Anyway, Nikki Haley, of course, tweets, this isn't just a war for Ukraine. This is a war for freedom. Are people not tired of having their intelligence insulted like this? Caitlin writes. And then she writes in the piece, I mean, the gall, the absolute temerity, she says. The balls on this empire, man.
Okay, she says balls.
She says so. It. I love this sentence. I mean, the gall, the absolute temerity, the balls on this empire, man. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Assange exposed many ugly realities about the powerful in his work with WikiLeaks. But everything that he has managed to expose thereafter, simply by forcing them to prosecute him, far surpasses the revelations in those publications. If the highest form of journalism is exposing the darkest secrets of the most powerful people in the world, then Julian Assange is the highest form of journalist. I just got chills reading that. Like, it's one of those things where you want to cry, actually.
Yes.
I mean, we should all be outraged about this. I mean, here's a guy who exposed these war crimes. He didn't go in and physically steal files. He, as a journalist, exposed this to the world, right?
Yes.
So we could see what these people were doing. And he is going to face 175 years in jail because the United States, steeping pile of hypocritical shit is sentencing him, is going to sentence him.
Well, the United States will go as far as not participating in the International Crime Court in The Hague. And in fact, recently, when it was accused of certain unsavory things, then at the time in 2020, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went to put sanctions on members of the International Criminal Court because the United States absolutely will not be held accountable for things that it has done.
Right. Yeah. So the very criminal court that we're saying, hey, let's try Putin for war crimes, we have sanctions against because we were worried about having our own people tried for war crimes. David,
yes.
Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say that's literally a journalist's job. What he did is literally what every journalist is supposed to do.
Yes.
Right.
And is supposed to be protected for.
Right.
What they're not supposed to do is when they get damning information on somebody, go to that person and ask them if it's okay if they publish that. They verify the source and then they publish it. You don't need to go to the person who has, you know, say,
no,
hey, I've got damning information
to.
On you. Yeah.
That's J School 101.
And by the way, that's what the New York Times has done. The New York Times has been exposed for doing the very same thing, which is, here's a story we're working on. We're going to send it to you before we publish it. Is this okay? Is this okay? What? The Washington Post, the same thing.
And I think they're so pissed off because they couldn't hide it anymore. They had been hiding this all along. And finally, now we know. And it's like egg on their face. Like, whoops, we've been doing these war crimes and now people know.
Well, it's hard to sort of extrapolate what will happen in the end because he seems to be fighting with every tooth and nail that's available to him in the legal system in the United Kingdom. If he is, in fact, extradited, the same thing will happen, right? And we will see. I mean, I am sort of interested in how it would go if he did have to fight here because the case would be public and so would any discovery, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think the United States really wants to do this, which is why you can make the argument that they want him to bring him to justice, but he will get harmed before he has his day in court.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what comes out of these discovery and go through the trial. Like, can you imagine this trial? I think we talk about like O.J. Simpson, the trial of the century. Fuck that guy. Who cares? You know, anyway, give me a break. No, this is, to me, this would be the trial of the century.
Well, I don't think they'd let us see it. I honestly don't think they'd let us see it because they would have no point. Their points would fall apart.
Right.
Right. Well, is there somewhere like publicly that you can actually read the charges against him? Do you know? I mean, like,
good question.
On the Espionage Act, I don't know. I mean,
I'd be interested to see like one, what those charges are, and two, like in the extradition, what guarantee is it that he will be extradited to the continental United States and not some like island nearby where we happen to have a super like secret Gitmo. Prison. Exactly.
Right. Yes. Well, the United States has recently given assurances that they'll take extra good care of him, right? So you can right. take that to the bank.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Yep. Wait, wait, wait. We've got cameras on
him. We've got cameras on him. We've got guards walking.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have cameras that turn off conveniently. We have the best cameras at our prisons. So when we, you know, if there's some unsavory guards, some CIA agents that happen to be floating around at some particular time, the cameras may turn off. We're just, but that's a feature, not a bug of the American prison system cameras. Let's go to the war in Ukraine now, where Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky said one of the more stunning piles of bullshit that I've seen come out of his mouth over the past month. In a new message, Vladimir Zelensky says that Ukraine, if only Ukraine had access to more weapons, this war would be over. He said this in an interview last night. And I couldn't believe this story when I saw it. He said that President Biden, and this comes at a time when President Biden has just last week just offered up another round of military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. We're sending missiles. It includes helicopters, artillery, ammunition, Humvees, Javelin missiles. The list is endless. This is on top of the $10 billion we've already sent, and on top of all of the NATO training and all of the weapons that currently exist inside of Ukraine.
I mean, you cannot say that you are an advocate for peace and say we could have peace if we just had more guns, right?
Right.
That's just the stupidest thing. But that's what he wants. Now, meanwhile, U.S. officials are admitting that they have no way to account for all of the weaponry that is being shipped inside the United States. And we are into Ukraine. And we are quite honestly losing track. Every time Congress meets, they are just opening their checkbook and opening the cabinetry for whatever arsenal, whatever we've got in the arsenal. Now, the U.S. has said that they really don't know exactly what's happening to all of these. And here's why they say it's because of the lack of boots on the ground. So there's no like, oh, you never heard of RFID tracking. You've never heard of like, you really can't control the supply chain.
No,
interesting.
And by the way,
but when they say like, yes, we are sending a lot of weapons in there, we cannot necessarily keep track of them. But here's a quote from the CNN article. It's a conscious risk the Biden administration is willing to take.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, we should point out that this report, this bombshell report, there's no other way to like sugarcoat this. This is a bombshell report, came from freaking CNN.
Yeah.
CNN of all places. I mean, talk about manufacturing consent for war. It's like that's CNN is the place you do it, right? If you want to get the American people behind a new war that we, you know, are going to spend billions of dollars on, go to CNN or MSNBC.
What do you think is the take here? Because maybe we read it differently, because I do feel like it's written in a tone of this is unacceptable.
Okay, let's not opine. Let's put it up on the screen. Here's the article. Here's the bombshell report from CNN. What happens to weapons sent to Ukraine? The U.S. doesn't really know. And let me pull a quote from the article. We have fidelity for a short time, but when it enters the fog of war, we have almost zero, said one source briefed on U.S. intelligence. It drops into a big black hole and you have almost no sense of it all after a short period of time. So that's you let us know in the chat. Drop a comment below. Like, the U.S. is sending billions of dollars in weapons. And they're sending them, by the way, to Nazis in the Azov battalion, by the way, who we've shown you the videos over the past few days of these Nazis with U.S. military equipment. So we're fine to send it to them. They also have American Humvees, Javelin missiles. The list is endless. And now we have no accounting of where this stuff ends up going or how it's being used.
The thing is,
my take on it, I do want to hear what you have to say, it is that CNN is presenting this as something that is not desirable.
Okay.
I don't think that CNN is making
excuses. Yeah.
Please, Philip, go ahead.
Well, the thing is, so this is not new information. The military knows that when you send weapons into an area, you don't know what happens to them because they know this is true and they want to send more weapons there. So it's not that they don't know where these weapons are going. It's that they don't care where these weapons are going.
Yes.
Because if you already know that you can't track it when you send it there and you want to send more, that's just willful ignorance. You're just like, okay. Oh, we don't care.
I have a few questions about that. These are just maybe ignorant questions, but allow me to ask them. Number one, is that par for the course? Anyone who has military experience, right? Because when we think of the military, we think of this sort of super organized, you know, runs all the trains are always on time. We even have a time for it, military time, right? So we think of this organization as a hyper organized body. But then we ship things out and we don't know where they go. Okay, that's sort of antithetical to the reputation. So is this normally how it happens in war, or is there no other way to keep track of your weaponry? You know, of course there are things like I can put an air tag on something and track it. There are many ways to ship something. You can track your lost luggage nowadays. There's the problem with that is that those things can be hacked or exploited by enemies. But this is not an unsolvable problem when it comes to technology and logistics.
Now, let's go back to something Philip kind of mentioned offhandedly. They don't care. And the reason they don't care is because they're making so much freaking money off of it. The military-industrial complex makes so much money off of it that they don't give a rat's ass where it goes because it needs to be replenished. I mean, we saw this article. We didn't cover this on the show. Bloomberg had a piece just the other day with this piece by Hal Brands. Ukraine war is depleting America's arsenal of democracy. Western
awesome
allies face a choice. Send more weapons to Kyiv or save their stockpiles for their own defense. It's depleting our arsenal of democracy. That's what we are, a force for good. We will shove our boot up your ass. We will shove it up there with a missile. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just a convenient problem for them to have, too, isn't it? That we can't track our missiles. Like, how convenient. It's like,
right.
Well, we'll just keep making them until we run out of materials because we don't keep track of how many we have. We just make sure we have as many as we need.
Let me just finish this tweet here real quick, Philip. And then so Shar Darling says, once again, if you are saying you stand with Ukraine, you are not standing with the Ukrainian people at all, but rather with the Azov Battalion, the Pentagon and Raytheon. So it's very, you know, like on this show, of course, we stand with the Ukrainian people. I stand with the Kenyan people. I stand with all people.
The Russian people.
I stand with people, right?
We stand with American people who did not create this.
As Bane said in The Dark Knight Rises, the people, the good people of Gotham. You are for you, the people. That's who we stand for on this show, right? So when you say you stand for the Ukrainian people, you're not really standing for the Ukrainian people. What you're standing for are these warmongers who are making endless dollars off of this proxy war. Philip, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was to answer Natalie's question, like yes, this we do know, like, this is how it goes. And if you look back at, like, in Iraq, when the U.S. pulled out of Iraq, we left behind a whole bunch of equipment for the Iraqi military.
Yes.
Then when ISIS overran them, the military just abandoned that equipment, and then suddenly it's in the hand of an enemy of the United States. And it's like, at that point, we don't know who has what, because it was all stockpiled in various places in Iraq, and then basically seized by an enemy. And so this is just sort of like, this has happened in Afghanistan with the Mujahideen, like with the arming, you know, like in the Iran-Contra affair. Like, yeah, we know, and we've known for a long time, that this is what happens when we pump arms into an area and we don't take them back.
You know, like, yes, no, well, we were told, and because, you know, this argument was coming when we left Afghanistan without much prep work, that, well, we are leaving behind equipment, but we're modding it out so that it can't be... I didn't use that term, right?
Like, we're taking the carburetors, basically. Yeah.
Right, and nobody will be able to fix this. So we were supposed to sort of fall for that. But this is a different story. We're sending our best, right? But we don't know. And another thing is, like, if we are lending them money and giving them equipment, right, but we don't care, like, there's no collateral on this. There's no, like, return it. We'll sort of give you a credit based on some kind of...
we don't care.
What's the word I'm looking for? Depreciation of the asset. How does a bomb depreciate?
Right.
You can say, you can take this story and you can put it away from you because it is across a continent.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't put it away from you in terms of, like, you just paid your taxes this week. This is what your taxes are going to, buying up weaponry that we do not account for and will leave. And then, like, replenish the stock, right? And so we have a clip here from the CEO of Raytheon saying, yeah, you know, business is booming.
Yeah. Listen to the CEO of Raytheon.
Apology for that. I think, again, recognizing, you know, we are there to defend democracy. And the fact is, eventually, we will see some benefit in the business over time. Everything that's being shipped into Ukraine today, of course, is coming out of stockpiles either at DOD or from our NATO allies. And that's all great news. Eventually, we'll have to replenish it, and we will see a benefit to the business over the next coming years.
Yeah. So let me just be clear about this. That's the CEO of Raytheon, who was asked a question by a journalist. He's basically saying, hey, you want to clarify, you've had some criticism over some comments recently about that your business is doing really well thanks to the Ukrainian war. Do you care to qualify that or to clarify your position on that? And he doubles down. He's like, oh yeah, all those stockpiles that are at the DOD, they're being sent over, and then they're going to call us to replenish them, and it's great for business.
Can you call up his shot? Is he in the metaverse?
No, I wondered where he was too. I'm like, is this your office? Like, what is this? Like,
apology for that.
Yeah.
I think again,
it does look like the Mark Zuckerberg demo of the metaverse.
Right.
Like, that can't be a real place.
Like, that's your desk? You have nothing?
The tree in the background looks real, so.
Yeah. Is there a war on? You can't even afford a computer on your desk? I mean, you know.
What I found kind of funny. Well, not funny. I don't want to say this is funny, but ever since the interview with Brett Baer where Zelensky was like, you know, for the Azov battalion, they are what they are, right? He's like, they are what they are, because they're like, they're Nazis, okay?
They're Nazis,
period.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in articles now when I'm reading about them, they're calling them the Azov Volunteer Battalion.
Oh, sure.
So I think it's like they're trying to make it like, well, they're not officially fighting for Ukraine. They're volunteers.
Right. Well, because Nazis don't draft.
Right.
Meanwhile, like the truth about the Azov Battalion, the truth about them is that, in fact, it's not just a small little fringe group at all. In fact, if you understand and you do the research and the studying of them, they were basically dispersed at all levels of the Ukrainian military. They are not some little fringe, there's 10 guys wearing Nazi paraphernalia. No, they run the show. They are at all levels of the Ukrainian military. And that's the real secret that they don't want you to know about. They don't want you to hear about this. The Western media certainly doesn't want to talk about it. And by the way, this was, up until February of this year, this was exactly what the U.S. And international media covered in Ukraine. This was the news up until February of this year. Okay, look at this. I'll start at the top. Western media before 2022, February 2022. Ukraine celebrates Nazi collaborator, bans book critical of pogroms leader. Far-right fighters from Europe fight for Ukraine. Ukraine designates national holiday to commemorate Nazi collaborators. Look at all of these headlines from Western media sources covering the far-right massacres, the white power warriors. I mean, all of it. Now, boom, as soon as we hit into, as soon as war breaks out.
They're heroes.
Don't say what
well,
about right.
Except there was, it was so, like, I was watching an MSNBC coverage, and they're showing these soldiers out training regular citizens. Like, they've got grandmas and kids with AK-47s or whatever. Right. And they didn't even think to show or to figure out that the guys that were doing the training had the SS symbol on their sleeves.
Right. Yeah, you can't mention that. And you can't mention that. If you call it out, then that's just misinformation. It's disinformation. Then you're a Putin apologist. And then it shuts down all conversation. But meanwhile, I'll come back to this quote. I was trying to dig for this quote earlier. This is the Zelensky quote asking for more money, more weapons. If we had access to all the weapons we need, which our partners have and which are comparable to the weapons used by the Russian Federation, we would have already ended this war. And as Noam Chomsky says, no, it's going to end with one of these countries being destroyed. And I'm going to tell you right now,
it's
not going to be Russia. And so the only other way to end this war is a peace talk,
not guns.
And that's not happening because we have an arsenal of democracy that we need to deplete with weapons. We can't keep track of them. You know,
where are the Kennedys when we need them?
Yeah, where's JFK when we need him?
We can't make money off talks unless we somehow figure out like if Raytheon can copyright certain words for negotiations.
Right. You know, Jimmy Carter's still alive. He seemed to have a way with words.
But I just can't get over this Raytheon CEO. I mean, Greg Hayes. I mean, everything that's being shipped in Ukraine today, of course, is coming out of stockpiles, you know, and that's all great news. We'll have to replenish this. I love this meme today. War. Who is it good for? Lockheed Martin, Halliburton, Boeing, Raytheon. Support our brave CEOs. Don't question wars. I'm going to hang this up in my
office.
That's
so patriotic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is amazing. This is amazing. This is where we're at right now in this war. We've got a lot more news to talk about today on the show. We're going to bring you an update in moments here on what's going on with Gonzalo Lira. You should all stick around for the story. There's, you know, we've got over 4,000 of you watching right now on Rumble, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook. So all of you who've taken time out of your day to educate yourselves about what's actually going on in the world, we've got more stories on censorship, what Fauci just said about the COVID variants that you're not going to want to miss. So we've got a lot of that. But we have some sponsors here on the show. And the only way we're able to do this show is with a few sponsors who support independent journalism. So just hang on, guys. Hang on for 60 seconds while we tell you about our friends, okay? I want to tell you about our friends.
Oh, I was going to do that.
Okay, go ahead. Right ahead. You want to tell us about our friends at Aalto IRA?
No.
I'm going to tell them about Aalto IRA.
Sure. All right?
If you want to truly diversify your retirement portfolio, our friends at Aalto IRA are fantastic because you can actually invest in crypto. You can add crypto to an IRA account using Aalto IRA. Do you have any investments outside of the stock market? Most of us don't, but many professional investors do. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in crypto inside of a self-directed IRA so Uncle Sam keeps his hands off of your money. You can invest in it tax-free inside of your self-directed account. Did you even know that a self-directed account exists? No, because the big banks lie to you, by the way. If you call up Wells Fargo or Bank of America and you ask those guys, hey, do you guys do a self-directed account? They will lie to you on the phone. That's exactly what they did to me. It happens time and time again because they don't actually have a self-directed account. But Aalto IRA is a self-directed account. They actually believe that you should be more in control of your money than Uncle Sam. The easy way for you right now is to open an Aalto IRA account. It's free. You can put like a 10 bucks in there, 50 bucks, whatever you want to do. And then you can invest in crypto, in real estate, all tax free. That's the beauty of this. You can create an account in just a few minutes. You can invest with as little as $10. There's no setup charges, no account fees. There's secure trading 24/7 through Aalto's integration with Coinbase. They have 150 plus coins available, by the way. You can invest in Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Cardano, and more. They have a traditional Roth and SEP IRA options, multiple ways to fund your account. You can make a cash contribution, transfer cash from an existing IRA, or roll over an old 401k. So here's how you do it. Just go to open an Aalto crypto IRA account today with as little as $10. Just go to AaltoIRA.com/morning. You have to use that URL. It's AaltoIRA.com/morning. It's right here on your screen, morning. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to AaltoIRA.com/morning to become a crypto investor, real estate investor, and other things. You can buy gold, silver, anything you want inside of your self-directed account. We love them. Thank you so much for your support of the show. Okay. Let's do this. Well, we've been covering the Gonzalo Lira story now for the past 24 hours. And Gonzalo Lira is the Chilean journalist who's been living in Ukraine for years. And he's been bravely reporting on what's what the corrupt Zelensky government has been doing. But we have an update now.
Well, now the Chilean government has confirmed that he is, in fact, missing. The State Department and the representatives from the government of Chile, where he is a citizen, or Chile, has confirmed that he is missing and has been since April 15th. And now there are words that there are, how do we want to say this?
Ritter, who has worked closely with him, who is a U.S. Marine, who has been boots on the ground there and understands what is going on with the Azov Battalion, has a report out, and he stays in close contact with Gonzalo Lira. He has learned through his own troops and supporters in that region that, in fact, Gonzalo Lira has been killed. Here is Scott Ritter's report just a few minutes ago before we went on the air, and I'm going to read it for you. Scott Ritter says, when Belarusian authorities pulled Roman Petreskovich, a blogger who had served a combat tour in the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion before working for Radio Free Europe's Belarus channel out of Prague, off an airplane in May 2021 on charges of inciting a political opposition, roughly the equivalent of sedition, the world went crazy, accusing Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko of trampling on free speech. Protasevich is alive and well, living under house arrest while awaiting trial. When reports emerged that Gonzalo Lira, Gonzalo Lira, a Chilean social media influencer who resided in Kharkov, Ukraine, and who published online content critical of the Ukrainian government, was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered by the Kraken unit, which is part of the Azov battalion, affiliated with the Ukrainian security service. The West is totally silent. Free speech isn't a one-way street. To remain silent in the murder of Gonzalo Lira is to be complicit in his death and the deaths of all journalists who pursue the truth, even if it runs counter to the mainstream narrative. Critical thinking should not be a death sentence. Unfortunately for Gonzalo Lira, it seems that it was. So Scott Ritter reporting that Gonzalo Lira has been killed by the Azov battalion, Azov battalion.
And Scott Ritter was also banned from Twitter. I don't know if he still is, but for reporting truth and getting information out to people from the ground with his sources, he was banned from Twitter.
Yeah, and here he was just last night or 2 nights ago on the Mother of All Talk Shows on George Galloway's show talking about the Azov Battalion and this in this region and why this is so dangerous and his last contact with Gonzalo Lira. Let's listen.
Definitely a city that is firmly in the grip of the Nazis. And anybody who lives Kharkov. In that city, such as Mr. Lira, who is not of that political persuasion, is at risk.
Very, very risky. So that.
And so what are the things, let's break down some of the things that he had been saying just to catch you up. So Gonzalo Lira, now there was a hit piece on him from the Daily Beast saying that calling him a sleazy American dating coach and a pro-Putin shill, which, okay, you can decide who you think, what you think his brand was by looking through his catalog of things that he had posted on the internet. But when the war broke out, he was somebody who lived in Kharkov and was reporting on what he actually saw, right? When weapons started to be dispersed throughout the city, before Russians had even arrived, he was showing videos of like, look, these people are just released from prison and being given guns. This is very dangerous. The Russians haven't even shown up yet. He had since been talking about certain names, right, that had names of criminals that were released. He was talking about it. And so it's interesting when you read through this piece, because everyone that this reporter had asked to ring in, the reporter's name is Mark Hay. Okay, what do you think of this guy? It was like this professor who specializes in Ukrainian conflict rang in from New Jersey, right? Or this guy who, from Rutgers, for instance. We talked to this expert on Ukrainian affairs at Rutgers, saying that these claims are nonsense. This Ukrainian affairs expert who works at Reed College and has been monitoring the conflict. Well, we're all doing that from not Ukraine, right?
Right, like in your cushy New York City apartment, Daily Beast, or your Washington D.C. billionaire. By the way, like the Daily Beast is a part of the Western media machine run by billionaires, and so this guy can write a hit piece about a guy who has been living in Ukraine and has been reporting what's unfolding about the Zelensky buffoonery and thuggery that's been unfolding, and he gets taken down by the Daily Beast.
It's like a YouTube commenter with a bigger platform.
Sure, yeah. Yes. But
not our commenters.
No, not our commenters. Not but you know the ones I'm talking about.
Our viewers here on Redacted,
Do you still have that tweet that he tweeted out saying that if he ended up missing, because you had that, I think, on yesterday's
show. So here is
his.
Yeah. Here is a pinned tweet on Gonzalo Lira's page. He pinned this back at the end of March. He said, if you want to learn the truth about Zelensky's regime, Google these names, right? All of these people have gone missing. So he says, if you haven't heard from me in 12 hours or more, put my name on the list. Now, this was March, so he survived at least a few more weeks. One of the last things that he was tweeting about and talking about was Patrick Lancaster's amazing work. We've covered some of Patrick Lancaster's work here on the show for, almost like 2 months now. We've been featuring Patrick Lancaster's boots on the ground, has lived in Ukraine for 8 years, covering the atrocities and the genocide that have been unfolding in the Donbas region that the Western media has ignored, by the way. And by the way, one of the last tweets that Gonzalo Lira actually posted was about the Western media's hypocrisy on these Nazis. And he actually tweeted this. And this compilation of all of these Western headlines talking about the Nazis in Eastern Ukraine, in the military, and leading this regime. And then, of course, a few days later, he's missing, doesn't show up for this interview on the mother of all talk shows with George Galloway, and doesn't, you know, doesn't show up for his meeting, doesn't show up for the interview. Scott Ritter can't get a hold of him, and they're friends. He's been contacting him and talking with him, can't get a hold of him. And then now we have this confirmation from Scott Ritter that he was, in fact, George Gonzalo Lira was murdered by the Kraken unit, which is part of the Azov battalion affiliated with the Ukrainian service, security service.
It's interesting, this Daily Beast piece, because it's asking us to disqualify him based on what he was before the war, which seemed to be some kind of mansplaining type blogger about relationships, right? Mm-hmm. They called him a dating coach, which it's fine. It seemed like there was a lot of machismo in his brand pre-war. So we can, I guess it's worth discussing, right? Do we discount somebody because they were not previously a war expert? But I have heard many guests on various podcasts, policy podcasts and think piece podcasts, of people who also were not experts on war, but happened to have a perspective by living there.
Or should we take our, you know, get our war advice from people who benefit from war, right?
Right.
So if you turn on CNN or MSNBC or any of these other channels, they've got former CIA contractor, former CEO of Lockheed Martin, whatever, this general who all benefit now from war.
Right.
So where do you get your perspective? Or what about Lisa Ling? Remember Lisa Ling? I don't know how many of you remember Channel One. When did you raise your hand if in the 1990s you had Channel One in your schools, in your junior high schools or your high schools?
Yeah.
It was the TVs that were up in the corner that Channel One installed, and then you had to watch that 8-minute newscast every morning. Wasn't Anderson Cooper also a Channel
Oneer? I believe he was.
Well, Lisa Ling was on Channel One, and she was talking about kind of pop culture and stuff like that. And then you know what? She sneaks into North Korea to report on the atrocities and the humanitarian crisis in North Korea as a journalist. So, okay, so are you allowed to evolve as a human being? But it doesn't matter. What he was reporting is the truth. That should kind of cancel out any dating advice he gave years ago on a blog.
Sure.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Well,
he's there actually covering the story.
I saw, I can't remember the lady that said it that I saw on a piece, but she's basically saying back in the day, journalists were not paid huge sums of money. They were actually in the trenches, and they made just a regular wage, so they would push against the elite. But now you have people like Rachel Maddow making $30,000 a day to do the news. How can she be connected with people at all? You know what I mean? So anytime there's an agenda, she's not going to walk away from that $30,000 a day. She's going to push that agenda at the end of the day. So it's like the media has become the elite. So all of them, you know, they're working with the war contractors and all the people with the money. And so there's nobody really pushing against the establishment anymore.
Well, it does seem like, especially this piece we're discussing about Gonzalo Lira from the Daily Beast, has unveiled jealousy. Like, this guy is in Ukraine, has all of a sudden 45,000 followers on Telegram and 20,000 followers on Twitch or whatever. And he's telling you things that we are telling you the opposite. So we have to then tell you why he's bullshit, right?
Right.
I mean, it's so interesting. Like, should we see Mark? Hey, were you like, I don't know, what have you been up to your whole life that could disqualify you to, you know?
Yeah, let's look into Mark Hay, the reporter for the Daily Beast. Like what
maybe
is
maybe he, you know, lost a gymnastics meet when he was a kid. I have no idea who he is.
Well, and the way that article, just the title is worded, that's a guy that probably would celebrate his death.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like to put a bow on this, sadly, is that the reports that we have, and we have confirmation from the Chilean government that he has gone missing.
Right.
And we have a report from Scott Ritter who says that that Gonzalo Lira has been killed by the Azov battalion in Ukraine. That is the latest. I mean, that is breaking news. That is the update that we have here. Now, we don't have independent confirmation of that. The Chilean government hasn't confirmed this yet. So we're waiting on that, but we wanted to bring this to you. So at the end of the day, regardless of what dating advice the guy did before, he is now, according to Scott Ritter, has been killed in Ukraine by covering the truth about what's been unfolding in that.
Yes,
in that.
And I think that this is a good lesson for all of us to, like, okay, we're calling him how a sleazy American dating coach, right? And you can label that, like I was going with that example, like what if Mark Hay had you know, lost a gymnast meet when he was at like 12, right? We could say right. failed gymnast, blah, blah, blah. Or like I, when I was 5, was in a local beauty pageant, but have never done anything since, right? You could call me failed pageant queen. Actually, I won that one. Former pageant queen or whatever, right? Like this is incredibly leading at this point. And so it's for us to say like, I'm going to read into it. And who here, who quoted here is actually in Ukraine? Only Gonzalo Lira, who did not participate in this. So I think it's for us to be prudent consumers of news and sort of,
it's also yeah. it's also like it really like rings of sort of like the, I mean, I don't have any like proof on this, but it rings of like CIA propaganda where yes. because this guy is talking about Nazis in Ukraine, so to discredit him, you can't just be like, well, no, they're not, because the best way to discredit him is be like, yeah, but look, this guy is also bad. And then boom, right. you know, then it's like a smear campaign, basically.
Yes.
Well, Vanessa Bealey tweeted this earlier. Independent journalist Gonzalo Lira is allegedly captured by the NATO-backed Azov Nazis, doxed by the Daily Beast, and linked so-called journalist FBI informant Sarah Ashto Cirillo, while journalists are forbidden entry to Assange extradition hearing. Get the picture? I mean, it kind of hits at the heart yeah, of like the hypocrisy.
Yeah, these things do not right? feel unrelated. Absolutely.
So we'll continue to watch this Gonzalo Lira story. It's heartbreaking. Again, a number of journalists now who've been reporting on the atrocities that by the Azov Battalion and the sort of barbarism from the Zelensky side of things. Again, Putin is no hero. Putin poisons his own people. Putin is a horrible human being by all accounts, right? As we've documented here on the show. But the only bit of news that you're getting from the West is that Putin bad, Zelensky great, it's black and white, don't ask any questions, just fall in line and let us funnel billions of dollars into this war zone. That's what you get when you watch the mainstream media, and hopefully you know enough that it's not going to happen here.
All right. I want to tell you about our next show sponsor briefly. But before I do, I want to say thank you to Mongolian Mobile Legends, MML, for that cute emoji, which is a little video game controller with a broken arm. Thank you for that super chat. I'm going to thank you for that in real time. All right. I would like to tell you about our show sponsor over at Bambi Human Resources. Now, if you run a small business like we do, you know that human resources is a department that you have to address at some point in the life of your business, but it is very complicated. For instance, if you have an issue with employee attendance and you don't necessarily know what the rules are for enforcing that in your state, maybe you have an altercation in the workplace, maybe you have been confused on how to handle a situation with an employee, performance issues, right? These are things you can't just handle because now there's so much legislation about what the right thing to do is. You can't spend your time just sort of studying all that. So why not outsource it to Bambi? They are here to help small business owners implement the right HR practices. The bad news is that one complaint against your company can turn the world upside down, take up your time, your money, and hopefully not your resources. Bambi is an HR platform built for businesses like yours, so you can automate the most important HR practices and get your own dedicated HR manager. First, Bambi's HR autopilot automates your core policies, workplace training, and employee feedback. Then your dedicated HR manager will help you navigate the more complex parts of HR and guide you to compliance, available by phone, email, or real-time chat. And an in-house HR manager usually can cost you up to $80,000 a year in salary plus benefits, plus taxes, but with Bambi, your HR dedicated manager starts at just $99 a month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You run your business and you let Bambi run your human resources. So go to Bambi.com/redacted right now for your free HR audit. That's spelled Bambee.com/redacted. That's Bambi.com/redacted.
Well, censorship is strong as ever, and the mainstream media is really scared about what will happen, of course, if Elon Musk gets his hands on Twitter, and what will happen for free speech. So mainstream media, MSNBC in particular, has been up in arms about what would happen to Twitter, the sort of corporate environment where us, you know, blue check media types can go and spout our bullshit all day long and have no dissenting voices and we can drown out, and we can also silence voices that we don't agree with, like President Trump or President Trump's supporters. What would happen if Elon Musk gets his hands on this platform? So Katie Turr had on Kara Swisher, who's a Vox reporter, a technology reporter. And we've known Kara for many, many years and has always done a pretty good job. But she wore, I mean, it was like a collaboration of two totally unaware people about the companies they work for, talking about the trouble, the travesty of social media if Elon Musk gets his hands on Twitter. Just watch Katie Turr and Kara Swisher go back and forth on what happens to free speech and why it would really be troubling for those billionaire media elites.
They are under enormous pressure to do so.
It is, it's so tricky, Kara, because there are real and devastating consequences for using that platform to lie. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen it happen. I wonder, you know.
So can we just pause there for a
second? Yes, it's comical. But let me ask this question. What platform are lies less damaging? Right. Like, what is it about Twitter? And she challenges her and says, well, it's really Facebook that makes, you know, lies more.
But she says that with a straight face on MSNBC.
Yes.
Which lies. I mean, think about the maybe hundreds upon hundreds of hours of coverage about Russia collusion scandal and pushing a, you know, Steele dossier story and all of the bullshit that they leveled for years on that channel.
Yes. Trump years.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about like consequences? I mean, remember we covered the story here last year. If you're new to the show, this was before Natalie's time on the show. I covered the story about the producer, the whistleblower producer for MSNBC, who came forward and said that she was told to not book Bernie Sanders on her show or what's his name?
Andrew Yang.
She was specifically told, we do not book those individuals on the show. And when they would put up graphics on the air of current Democratic frontrunners and Democratic candidates running for office, no, we don't even put Bernie Sanders' picture up there. We don't put Andrew Yang's picture up there. And meanwhile, Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang were polling higher and were doing better than was Kamala Harris. Like, what does that lie do for democracy? But we got to be worried about what Elon Musk will do on Twitter.
But again, I think I said this yesterday and I want to double down on it, that I am no longer going to use the term misinformation or disinformation because it's just information. And when you say that, you take the responsibility out of fellow humans for deciding what is true and what is not, right? There are things that I don't trust you to see. So don't even look at those things because you are too stupid to discern for yourself. But she's saying specifically Twitter makes lies more insidious, right? But lies have always existed in all platforms, back to the days of like
recess with the kids,
Stonehenge, right? Or not stone tablets,
right?
You could lie, you could chisel a lie into, you could write a lie in a book, you could write a lie in a pamphlet, you could tell a lie, you could speak it into the radio, right? There are certain speech that is like defamation and speech that incites violence that is not protected speech. But all other speech that is just speech you don't like, you should be able to say.
And that's what Elon Musk was saying. You know, they played a clip of Elon Musk before this segment where he talks about free speech. He believes that everyone should have the right to, you know, to have a platform of free speech. He said within the law, like obviously you're going to like threaten to kill somebody, that's, you know, it's going to rise to the level of breaking the law, right? Or shouting fire in a crowded theater, right? That's not what he's saying. And
no.
In fact, today the word is that he wants to pay, if he does get full hold of Twitter, he wants to pay the board. The board will make $0. They will make $0. They will make no money if he takes control of Twitter.
Oh, that's a way to get them to vote for a takeover.
I know. Well, he doesn't have to, because now if he can get he can get other people to take control, it really doesn't matter. But let's listen to her finish this story.
Let him back on it. They are under enormous pressure to do so.
It is, it's so tricky, Kara, because there are real and devastating consequences for using that platform to lie. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen it happen.
And we here at MSNBC, we never lie. We only bring you the news that you are that we think that you should hear.
I wonder, you know, when talking about this, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Oh, Elon wants to buy it, but there are massive life and globe altering consequences for just letting people run wild on the thing.
Yeah, you can't let people speak. You can't let people run wild.
But people run wild and say things in real life, which is called your opinion, which is true freedom, right? And so this, what she's insinuating is that you should not be able to speak things that result in consequences that are undesirable for her and her audience.
Right. That's the, yes. Yeah. What's undesirable for her and her audience, and not even her and her audience, but her bosses. And the billionaires that run these freaking companies, by the way. Morning Joe, another MSNBC host, they were having a discussion about Elon Musk. It's like the whole, it's like everyone on MSNBC is like telling the truth and letting the cat out of the bag about how they cannot allow Elon Musk to take control of this platform because, my God, what's going to happen? We are the ones that tell you what to think. Listen to Mika Brzezinski admit and say out loud that we tell you what to think here at MSNBC. Listen to this amazing quote.
Who were Trump voters and are still Trump supporters, they go, yeah, you guys are going crazy. He's doing, what are you so surprised about? He's doing exactly what he said he's going to do.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah, if you look at the issue.
That is our job. We tell you what to think. We control and tell you what to think. That's our job here at MSNBC.
No, okay, Philip, what are you trying to say?
Oh, no, I just said, oops, like she said the quiet part out loud. But I think as inconvenient as it is for people, and I know like most people don't want to hear this, the United States is full of a lot of different type of people, where you have people educated at Harvard, you have people with an eighth grade education, there are Christians, there are atheists, there are all these different kinds of people in the of just varying degrees. You can't just let somebody say, we only want to listen to Harvard educated, you know, like people that went to MIT that make so much money a year, those are the people that get a voice. And if you have an eighth grade education, you know, you're the child of a coal miner, and you're deeply religious, we don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me.
Yeah, if you didn't go to college, we don't want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, that's the Democratic platform. Like, hey, if you're uneducated, then we don't talk to you. Right. They always love telling us the polls about how Trump does really well with the uneducated whites. Right.
Because it sells them their own superiority. But
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, here's the rest.
Put them back on it. They are under enormous
run wild on the thing.
Yes, 100%. But that's Facebook is really where the real action is in that. So this is a very small company. It has an outsized influence because media people like it, politicians, world leaders, and Elon Musk. And so one of the issues is if he's not going to do this, and by the way, Twitter and some of its biggest investors like Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal are saying no, and they're putting poison pills in. Mm. What is he going to do? He's going to have to somehow unload this 10% stake. And that's probably what he's going to have to do, or raise private financing, which has its own risks and possible rewards, but a lot of risks for him.
Well, I didn't play the soundbite, but he was asked if there's a plan B, and he laughed and said, there is. We'll find out what that is.
That's what a super villain hero would say, right? He thinks he's Tony Stark, right? That's what they'd say. However you feel about him, that's what Tony Stark would say.
Smug assholes.
What the fuck are you talking about? By the way, Tony Stark is a hero. He's Iron Man, a supervillain. Like, get your metaphors together here.
Also, this idea that no, Facebook is where the lies happen, not necessarily Twitter. Well, it happens on both. In fact, in her book, This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, New York Times cyber reporter, who's a specialist in like all things cyber and cyber warfare, actually points out that what Russia did to harbor discord inside the 2016 election was take negative news and exploit it. They didn't actually make anything up. They didn't really have to. So they took unflattering stories about Hillary Clinton and they twisted them in a way, but they did not actually make things up. It wasn't necessarily fake news that harmed her. It was exploitation of news and the dissemination thereof. And so these people who are sharing these things because it already plays to their conviction bias of not liking Hillary Clinton, is that lying? So like my relative, like my great aunt in West Virginia, who wants to share these things about how like they would never vote for Hillary because, is she a liar? Or is she just motivated to want to see that story and sharing it, right? And so are they now voting for punishing her because this is an undesirable outcome?
Hmm. Well, another thing that was getting shared at that time was satire. And it was clearly marked as satire, but they were throwing out a lot of satirical articles, just right. hoping that people would see the headline and not bother to read that it was satire. And so, you know, like that was a thing where it's not necessarily, I know, like, didn't Babylon Bee have problems with Twitter also?
Like, Babylon Bee. Oh, yeah. Babylon Bee got taken off of Twitter. Like they're a satirical publication. And just like The Onion, people were sharing Onion articles as if they're real.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and again, to Natalie's point, Russia didn't even have to do it. Like didn't even have to do anything. All they did was amplify the stuff that people were already sharing. Like the, you know, crazy conspiracy theorists out there, they're, you know, sharing stuff and like they just jumped in and like, hey, we're just going to retweet this stuff. People are buying it.
They like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, we got
to
be.
And so, you know, again, does that make you a liar if you're prone to liking something about a candidate you already don't, that's negative about a candidate you don't already like, yeah. right? That doesn't a liar make.
Well, that's the problem with echo chambers is like if all you hear is what you know, if I'm constantly hearing the same thing, that becomes truth to me and everything else must be a lie. And that's yes. sort of like the MSNBC versus Fox argument. You're like, they're both telling the truth because they both live in echo chambers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is their truth.
Yeah. And there's this YouTube story, too, about we have this other story tonight about the U.S., a politician in China being removed from YouTube because Google says that it has to comply with U.S. government sanctions. And so you see these stories. We talked about the Meghan Markle story. Meghan Markle, like if you're critical of Meghan Markle on YouTube, YouTube and Google are downranking videos. Like you can't speak out. You can't say things. For fear of big tech, these billionaire leaders taking your stuff down and telling you what to think. Again, if you're new to the show, please subscribe here. We were taken off of YouTube last week or the week before. We were banned for a week for reporting the news on Pfizer. Pfizer's own data that they had to reveal through a court order, redacted information. That's where the name of the show came from, for crying out loud. We featured that news here on this show, and we were taken down off of YouTube for a week by YouTube, by Google. And when we reached out to their press office, they didn't respond. And then they finally responded and said we were spreading medical misinformation. I was like, you realize this is on the CDC's website, and it comes right from Pfizer's own data. But it doesn't matter, because they want to silence voices they don't like.
Yes. All right, well, we're going to tell you about a voice that we do like because they are an advocate for people over 50, and that is our show sponsor over at AARP Services. Now, of course, we all feel young at heart, and I appreciate all the energy that is coming into our chat room tonight very much. I don't know any of your ages, but I assume that you are all healthy and vigorous. But as you age and get over 50, who is it that speaks for you, right? As we get older, we're more concerned about affordable health care, lower prescription costs, and protecting Social Security and Medicare. Actually, those are things that maybe we always should be concerned about: affordable health care, lower prescription costs, and a healthy retirement. But these are top of mind as we get up there in years. AARP is an advocate for you. They offer financial and job resources, fraud protection help, information on joining local volunteer groups, and much, much more, because AARP knows that you have a lot of good years ahead of you. There are social benefits from becoming a member. For instance, family care. caregiving support, job and resume advisor, driver safety tips, financial planning, instant access to news and community events. I've mentioned many times that every time my mother comes to visit, she brings the AARP magazine, and she circles the articles that she wants me to read. And then I do. I was specifically interested in the most recent one about that fourth booster. I think that they have really good writers that are looking out for your interests. There are also commercial benefits, such as 61% off an average saving on prescription drugs that are not covered by Medicare, because Medicare covers very little on purpose. Up to 15% off meals at participating restaurants, discounts on thousands of hotels nationwide, discounts on eye exams and eyeglasses, and exclusive insurance plans that cover everything from health to home to pets and auto. So right now you can try the benefits of membership for yourself by going to aarp.org/morninginvest, which is incidentally the name of our newsletter, Morning Invest. So use that code to join for just $12 for your first year with automatic renewal, and you'll get a second membership for free. Plus this magazine I speak so highly of, the AARP, the magazine, plus a free gift. So once again, that's AARP, Alpha Alpha Romeo Papa, .org/morninginvest. I just like pulled it. Those call letters out. Sometimes I get it and sometimes I just make it up. Like P for potato. Yeah.
Nice.
I studied all, them with my phonetic. Kids. Yeah. All right.
All right. All right, let's talk about the mask mandate. So many of you are no doubt aware that yesterday or sort of mid-flight, the Biden administration was struck down by a judge on the mask mandate, the CDC's mask mandate, for overstepping its boundaries. And mid-flight, many pilots came out to tell their crew and also to tell their passengers that the TSA is no longer enforcing masks, and you can remove those masks if you want to. But the hue and cry on all of this has been loud, and there's been a lot of confusion about this, where the Biden administration now, you know, started off yesterday morning saying that basically, yeah, it's up to you now. President Biden came out and said, it's up to you. You know, it's up to the individual now on whether or not you want to wear a mask. That's where we're moving. But later in the day, the president changed tune. And now there may be a fight coming from the Department of Justice trying to overturn the overturning of the mask mandate. So we could be going back to wearing masks if the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, gets its way. Can these guys, these demented guys, make up their minds?
Come on, man.
Well, I'm sorry, Joe, but that's the truth. So yesterday, this is President Biden earlier in the morning. Let me play this soundbite. This is President Biden, if I can get my little dingus up here. All right, stand by. Sorry, guys. So here was President Biden earlier in the morning, or 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and then later in the day saying something totally different.
People continue to wear masks on planes.
That's up to them.
It's up to them. It's up to the individual, right? That was at 2 p.m. And then he's yelled at. It's kind of hard for him to hear, for them to hear. Do you want to tell us what this reporter yells at him? But then he says... Then he says, I haven't gotten any brief from my CDC. I don't know. We're following the science. That's what he says here loudly as a reporter asks, what's going to happen here? So about an hour and a half later.
I've not gotten any brief from my CDC. I don't know.
We'll follow the science.
Okay, that's interesting, because we thought that you were already following the science, which was why the mask mandate was incited and extended.
Right.
So no, you weren't already, you're not already up on that?
Right, so you were extending it for 2 weeks, right, because we're following the science. Right.
And now that it's been struck down in a court of law, which doesn't necessarily have to do with science, the court ruling was about whether or not the CDC had the authority. It did not really have much to do with the science, it was about the authority, right?
Okay.
So we are to assume that it was put in place because of the science. Right. If for no other reason, why? Okay, follow-up question. Why did you want to extend it then if you didn't know the science?
Don't ask those types of questions.
You're missing the very clear scientific study that was done between 2 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. yesterday that changed
Come
everything.
Come on, man.
Oh, yes?
Exactly, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. The scientific study whereby the government and some kind of, I don't know, forces of pressure inside said, we want that mask mandate back.
Right. Yes, that one. That one.
Yes, that one.
But meanwhile, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's really sad and crazy because the CDC's very own website has the latest data on masking, county by county. And guess what? It turns out mask mandates don't work. Right? It doesn't work. And we've talked about this here on the show over the past 48 hours, where the new data on masks is out there for everyone to read now. It's out there in the flesh for you all to read, to breathe in yourself if you want to, on masks and the efficacy of this.
Well, the science shows that outbreaks of COVID tracked the same in places with and without mask mandates. So therefore, the masks, those who had to wear masks, were not prevented from COVID outbreaks. The outbreaks were the outbreaks, right? Science does show that individual masking does offer you some protection, so you are free to choose a mask. But the science does not show that group masking prevents COVID outbreaks.
Now, the video that we're showing here on the screen, these masks, like these surgical masks that she's putting on, they don't do virtually anything, really, to help. Like, if you want to protect yourself, you need to wear an N95 mask. That's the data. That's the science. The thick N95 masks that are fitted. None of these people in these videos here are wearing an N95 mask. They're wearing these cloth masks, which virtually don't do anything at all. And if you want to protect yourself, go right ahead. Wear an N95 mask, one of that's fitted around your face, that is pinched at the nose, that's totally covering you, and it's highly uncomfortable, by the way. Those, according to the data, are the only ones that stop about 95% of airborne particulates. And it protects you. So if you are immunocompromised and you have an issue, go ahead and wear it. You could wear it all day. You could sleep in it if you want to. You can take a shower in it if you want to. But what the hell does that have to do with the person sitting next to you? It has nothing to do with it, according to the data. And so there's people freaking out. I mean, yesterday when this happened, here's Roland Martin tweeted this. He said, I don't give a damn what some grossly unqualified Donald Trump judge said. I'm double masked and I'm wearing goggles on this Nashville to DC flight. I had COVID in December. Y'all can kiss my ass about me not wanting it again. Any fool saying they don't matter is a damn liar.
That's a misplaced modifier.
Yes, but also, you know, good for him. He wants to double mask. Cool. Do it.
Right. Yes. Good for you. You want a double mask? By the way, that mask you're wearing, Roland, is not going to really work, as we've just pointed out.
Well, you don't know what the first mask is. All right, so maybe the one underneath there.
Maybe he's got an N95 mask on underneath his other crappy, fabric mask.
Sure.
And he's got his goggles on top of that. Okay. Good. Good for you.
I want to go back to the pandemic days where we were all wearing like swim goggles, like the full face snorkels. And
remember that Dyson thing was going to be rolling out.
Yeah.
But let's go back to President Biden, right? So at 2 p.m., wearing a mask on planes is up to the individuals. At 3:30, I don't know if we're going to appeal the federal ruling. I don't know. An hour and a half later, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided exactly what we're going to do. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, meanwhile, now Dr. Fauci is saying that, you know, there are all kinds of new variants coming, and really it's the unvaccinated who are to blame. He's now using the term seasonal COVID, which I've seen sort of pop up around the news more often lately. Some people find it offensive because you can still get COVID off season. I feel like that's us. We keep getting it. Like, we got it in the fall, and then we got it again in April. We're not getting it in peaks. Like,
yeah,
that's how I feel about my fashion choices. Like, I'm just always a little bit behind the trend. Why can't I get COVID when it's cool? Nevertheless, this is now the new buzzword. It's seasonal COVID. And he said, you have large pockets of unvaccinated people that give the virus room to evolve. But he is still saying that vaccination is to blame.
Well, it's insulting, right? So this idea, what he's saying in this piece, in this interview, I mean, is that these new variants are coming. We're going to be with them they're always going to be here. And what we were told is, oh my God, well, the certain vaccines that you're getting won't stop against these other variants, right?
Yes.
So okay, so if new variants are coming and the vaccine that we currently have is not going to stop this new crazy XE variant, so we need to get Pfizer on top of this, right? We need to get Moderna on top of this. We need to be cranking on top of this so that they can crank out more vaccines and make more money off of this, right? If that doesn't stop it, then what the hell is he talking about? I mean, he's spreading more lies. He's basically saying the reason these variants are happening is because all of you people out there who didn't get vaccinated, the variants are coming into your neighborhood and they're mutating. That's how he describes it. In fact, I'll even quote exactly what he says. He says they will rise up. They will rise up in places where you have large pockets of unvaccinated people that give the virus room to evolve. So he's blaming it on unvaccinated people that we're getting these variants. But he's lying because before that, he's told us that we were going to see variants occurring for many, many years to come.
Right, vaccine or no.
It's the same thing with the flu. You're going to have variants of the flu.
Yes.
I mean, for years to come, all sorts of different viruses, all sorts of different variations of COVID-19 or the coronavirus. So this bullshit that this is going to open up in places where you have large pockets of unvaccinated people, these new variants that we now need to see blips on the radar. We need to worry about these things as we go
forward. This doesn't account for, but just yesterday we reported that three CDC doctors had walked out on the recommendation for a fourth booster, saying, look, we're only really measuring antibodies at this point. We're not measuring the B and T cells, which are also very important for immunity. So all of these people that caught COVID now have a stronger natural immunity through these different cells. It doesn't account for the fact that, like, what is the impact of those people? Are those people giving the virus room to evolve if they are walking around with the more immunity from a natural infection? I don't understand how that can be explained.
Yeah.
Well, without long-term study, we don't really know. And we're still in like the emergency study. Like, you need long-term study. Because, I mean, none of the variants that we know of, as far as I know of, originated in the United States. So, like, there's no way to predict where a variant will happen. And so that's just how mutation works. It's not like, you know, it needs like these specific conditions. It just happens because the viruses are so virulent, you know.
Mark Leo, am I saying your name right? Like Mark Leonocio? Am I saying that right, Mark? It says, living in Las Vegas, please, please stop messing with the kids in these masks. Yes. You know, and that's the thing. At the heart of all of this is like kids' education. We know that it dramatically has altered their learning ability. Right. We've seen the data on
schools. Speech experts are now saying that they are worried about the diction of children who were born during the pandemic, who were learning to speak and learning to read and write and speak out loud, who have not been able to actually enunciate their words. Also, you know, just not going to school in general. This idea that Clayton was showing me today some tweets where people were saying, oh, we're not going to wear masks. What about the children? Right. Well, like, okay, I push you back on that. What about the children? What are the negative effects of a child? I've thought many times, because humans are meant to be natural born apprentices. So when they cannot see people, you know, half of a human face in their world, there are harms that come of this. Anthropologists will tell you this. So what of the children? We should have a real discussion about the two sides of the scale, right? Are we protecting children really from COVID? Or if you have an immunocompromised child, should we mask that child? Or are we harming children in general with sort of a fear-based society that's not a non-zero variable?
Right. I mean, just at the heart of it.
That is a non-zero. That was a double negative, which I just said.
But I'm so used to your double negatives that I invert them.
Yeah.
Because you'll say to me, you'll say, are you not going to do, like, and my son does the same thing. Miles will go, Mommy,
we live in a country that's a romance language. But
you've said this before that.
Yes. Because when you speak in romance languages, you're used to double negatives. And I don't know. I do. So anyway, that is a non-zero variable.
Right. But again, we come back to this confusion, again, led by Captain Confusion himself right now.
Come on, man.
Sorry. I mean, we don't know. We don't exactly know what's going to happen. You're going to have, and you know, all, there's all this like vilification of this judge now. Oh, it's a Trump appointed judge. And you know what? She's not a doctor.
Also, she's fairly green.
She's not a doctor. She's a judge, you idiot.
But I mean, I think there's also like some legitimacy in that, in which the Bar Association said she was highly unqualified for the job. I mean, that's something that I like reading that, like leaving everybody else's opinion out of it. That's something you want to kind of pay attention to.
Okay, we have to stop and tell you what Nipak just said, that it's 4:20 on 4:20 Central Standard Time. He gives us a $4 super chat.
Thank you.
We are picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, by
I
the
have
way,
no
did you see
idea.
Did you see New Jersey, by the way? So New Jersey is legalizing marijuana, and the idiots in New Jersey, really, you couldn't do it today, so they're doing it tomorrow on the 21st of April. Like, no, we can't.
They
so they're legalizing marijuana.
Understand.
Tomorrow, like, really, come on, give me a break. You couldn't do it today.
It's already legal. It's now you can buy cannabis products without a medical license.
Okay,
that is the change.
Well, another day, we'll see what happens with these mask mandates. Right now, the Biden administration, it has not decided yet whether or not the Department of Justice is going to fight this. They're going to fight and push towards getting us masked up again. And meanwhile, airlines are saying, hey, do what you want to do. We're done. Because 70% of all of the cases where they had to like pull an unruly passenger off a plane, or all of the fights and all of the stuff they had to deal with, 70%, according to the data, were mask related.
Yes.
Mask. So these airlines are like happy to not have to deal with this shit anymore. And these flight attendants who have to like live their life wearing these things, you know.
Will they bring the alcohol back, or have they already done that?
I think alcohol's back, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's been back for a while on any flight I've
been on. Oh, okay. All right.
Not that I would drink, but...
Yeah, not
that... You don't drink?
I do.
Oh. So does Grover. He is wiped out from a long show today, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're not already a subscriber to Redacted, that's our channel. We're here live every day, Monday through Thursday, anyway, live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific. 3 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Global Greenwich Mean Time in London. We try to cover geopolitics. We try to give you the stories you're not going to see in the mainstream media, stuff that they're going to gloss over, hide from you, keep from you, redact from you. So please subscribe to the channel.
We had a super chat from, I think his name was Mark, that said, first time here and I'm hooked. Thank you so much. Did I get the name right?
Yes, Mark, I believe, yes. Mark from
Vegas.
Yes,
I'm pulling it up right now. We've got okay. Mark Leonacio. This is my first time watching. I'm hooked. He also became a new member today, I noticed.
Thank awesome. You so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep. And then we've got a couple other super chats starting at the beginning. We had, this came in during the countdown. It's a $5 super chat from Nancy McEvers. Just a suggestion, please change the complication of war videos when the war in Ukraine is discussed. It's getting old seeing the same thing. I think it's the B-roll.
Okay.
So. Okay.
And then I think.
Well, hey,
ones...
you know that. You know, I want to say I love you. I love you because that means you watch closely enough.
Yes.
You know, when I worked at Fox News and I was a news anchor there, we would show like, you know, if we had to do a story about like trouble at the office or like office related B-roll or video, you know, we'd had like the same people on the computer. Doing
yes.
the thing, like
yep. yeah.
So you got to recognize the same people
oh, yeah.
on the computer, you know, and that's
I've seen people I know in because I deal a lot with B-roll and stuff like that, and I've seen people I know in B-roll. I'm like, hey, that's my friend.
I mean, it's hard because we got to pull all this video and pay for the licensing to get this stuff. So yeah, but thank you for keeping an eagle.
There's only so much B-roll out there, believe me.
Yeah.
And then we had one last one. This was when we were talking about where are the weapons going, and it was from None of Your Business, a $2 super chat. Russia says, thank you for the new stingers.
Mm. Anytime. Mm-hmm. Gift yeah. wrapped.
Gift yep. wrapped
from
Raytheon.
Amazon Prime. Yeah.
And that's all we
right,
have.
Guys. So we have a daily morning newsletter also, and the branding is still, we kept it Morning Invest because it's a morning newsletter. So right now it's still there. We're still figuring out what we're going to do, but it is right. It's still Morning Invest. If you go to morninginvest.com, sign up for our daily newsletter. It delivers to your inbox first thing in the morning. This one over here does a heck of a lot of the writing on the newsletter. She's a great writer. And so
thanks.
So you can read it in about 5-10 minutes over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. Just go to morninginvest.com, and again, it'll come to your email inbox. We cover about 4 or 5 big stories in there, and it, hopefully we try to cover them in a way that, you know, sheds light on them that you're not going to see in the, a lot of the coverage in the mainstream media. So morninginvest.com, sign up for our free newsletter. And yeah, we thank you so much for that.
So we will see you here tomorrow. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, Sandy McLeod figured out the B-roll problem. Just have David and Philip act it out. So that's
there we go. Yes. I've asked them many times for interpretive dance, but David has a pinched nerve. So
yeah, got, that's on hold. Dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Back in the day when I hosted on a show called The Daily Buzz years ago down in Florida, we would do certain stories where me and Mitch English, my old co-host, we would act out, we would shoot B-roll and act out scenes that we would run the B-roll of from time to time. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, be safe, be kind.
Happy 420.
Happy 420. Good night, everyone.